Welcome and bienvenidos to Mariachi DNA, a puro mariachi podcast. Grab your favorite tequila, sit back and enjoy.
And we're back. This is Rodri, producer of Mariachi USA, and Anthony Tiger Medrano. And we were discussing the celebrations of all those that have been with us at Mariachi USA and their trajectory and what they've brought to Mariachi USA. And in that process of celebration, we were recalling our very first year that we had Linda Ronstan and Vicky Carr. And then Vicky graced our stage several times thereafter. And we invited Lucha Villa one year and then Aida Cuevas as well. Very few people can walk on that stage and own it. And this artist definitely did that and does it. And I hope that she will do it again with us. And we welcome now, I know it's Tiger's very favorite, so we're going to keep him out of this because he's too nervous to even talk. Here we go again. So we're welcoming Angeles Ochoa. Bienvenida.
Gracias.
Querida amiga.
Gracias.
Welcome.
Gracias, Rodri Bella. Anthony.
Lo podemos hacer en inglés, español.
Both.
Lo que quieras, Spanglish, de todo.
And all the presence around us.
Yes.
Thank you for your hospitality.
It's our pleasure. We were mentioning that the trajectory of, here in the United States, of mariachi music has a very short history when you really compare the history of mariachi in the world, in Mexico.
Right.
And when you're looking at just at the female, the music genre, but then the gender and how mariachi started. And we go back to the very beginnings of who the pioneer women are. And for me, Lucha Reyes was one of the very first. And she's credited with adding the trumpet to the mariachi, mm-hmm. taking them out of the cantina, putting them on a stage. Mm-hmm. She would put them in the front of the stage while she was singing because she used to sing opera. And so there began the whole film history. And the recordings of the songs, and then she left us, and then others took over, and you've got Lola Beltrán and Lucha Villa and Amalia and et cetera, et cetera.
María de Lourdes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So for you coming in as a young woman, we see you as pura ranchera star, but it goes beyond that. We don't pigeonhole you in a category because you fulfill so many different roles of what a full entertainer is. So what was it like for you getting into that role and seeing all those that came before you?
Well, for me, having the honor of meeting them when I was around 9, 10 years old, have Doña Lola Beltrán being my godmother and perform with her for many years with Lucha Villa, Amalia Mendoza, mm. being with María de Lourdes in El Teatro de la Ciudad de México, in an organization that she put together, a lot of artists with that need of having the exposure. And I was part of it, you know, part of with her trying to do those shows weekly in El Teatro de la Ciudad. It's a beautiful experience. It's not only them, Las Huertas, Las Jilguerillas, the females, right? And male, well, Tito Guizar, Vicente, all of them.
María Victoria también estaba ahí en todo ese grupo, ¿no?
Not as much because we're talking about the bravía, la parte folclórica bravía, ¿no? Not as the romantic side, but having Del Charro Avitia, Gerardo Reyes, so many people. Now I look back and I'm like, wow, you know, how fortunate I was to be part of that, even though that I was so young. And they look at me at like, what is this little girl doing here? But my voice wasn't like of a little girl. So I felt that I belonged there. Yeah, and they were very kind to me and very loving. Así es de que venir de esa época, even though I was young, but I did learn a lot, you know, and I just feel fortunate.
An old soul in a little girl's body.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that I always, yeah, I think that I always have that feeling that I have been around, you know, for many years. But even when I was like 15, 14, they would say to me, La Señora Ángeles, and I would be like, Señora, like, no.
Exactly. I'm just going to celebrate my quinceañera.
Like my daughter says, I'm just a baby.
When did you record your first album?
My first album, I did it in 1982 with a company that back then existed that was Gamma. Because the first show that I did, it was in Siempre en Domingo. And the moment that I finished my song, it just, El Señor Velasco approached me and said, if anyone wants to talk to you, tell them to talk to Licenciado Garza. Mm-hmm. And from there on, you know, it started so fast. And from that Sunday, that was August 2nd of 1981, I did 62 Sundays consecutive. Every Sunday I was on the TV show. Every Sunday, and started to work like pretty fast, and I was gonna turn 9.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then somehow you came to the United States.
Yes, that was in 85 when I did an album called La Nueva Imagen de la Canción Ranchera, and it was a song of Juan Gabriel, that he allowed me to record 7 songs. So el maestro Homero Patrón did the arrangements, and from there, you know, the album jumped to the States and Central and South America.
And then you decided to stay here and make this your home.
I decided that when I marry on 94. Yeah, but from my teens to, you know, my young adulthood, I did work a lot all over the U.S., Central America, South America.
Well, you're such a star, such a star in the sense of, and I don't mean star celebrity, I mean a true star in what the mariachi world is. And I know that you have, you semi-retired for a while because you chose to raise your 3 children, and now they are all grown up and they've graduated. They have their degrees and they're starting their careers. And I'm thrilled to hear that you're going to be more belonging to us in the entertainment world and be more visible and be present in more stages than you have been, because now you're ready to go full force and being, yeah, Angeles Ochoa.
Right. It's
what does that feel like to
it
just
feels, well, obviously it's me, right? But I've been mom for the past 13 years by myself. And in that part has teach me so many things as a woman. Once when I was, I wanna say 16 or 17 years old, I was in a show. We were being the godparents of a radio station, La Morena, in Mexico City. And it was La Señora Beltrán, myself, and then Vicente and Alejandro. Vicente Fernandez and Alejandro Fernandez. So I went out. Are you okay?
He's so excited he fell off his chair.
I'm fainting. I'm with the incredible Angeles Ochoa, and I'm fainting all over the place.
So I performed, went into the dressing room, and I asked Doña Lola, like I always did, ¿Cómo me escuchó, señora? And she looked at me and told me, and no quiero que se escuche petulante, okay? I'm just saying what happened back then. And she said, you know that you're the best voice of Mexico, right? Y dije, no, pues muchas gracias.
Digo, ya no, chico palaste.
Sí. me dice, tú eres la mejor cantante que existe en México. Tu voz es única. El día que tú seas mujer y que la vida te enseñe lo que es la vida, you're going to be the best, la mejor intérprete. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Y ya, ¿no? Lo hiciste muy hermoso. Hermoso. She went to the, you know, to continue doing her makeup. And when she left, I told my mom, dije, no le gustó. Dije, ¿viste lo que me dijo? Le digo, no le gustó, no me dijo que lo hice bien. Me dice, no, 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 la señora te está dejando saber que tienes que interpretar más, ¿no? Porque es muy difícil, as a singer, being so young and the way I was raised, to be a performer in a way to express these wonderful lyrics that most of the time is when you're heartbroken, you know, and te han hecho todo. But I always imagine. I think I have a very good imagination.
Of course. But you never lived it. How could you at 9, right. 15 years old?
Right. But, yeah, esas son las memorias bellas, ¿no?, de esa época. Y entonces ahora, con lo que he vivido, para mí primordial, it was be a mom, be with my kids, have that balance in life. When their father passed away, it was like a moment that everything deployed in my life. When my husband passed, half of me went there, half of my music, the love for music was like put away. Because I don't want to exaggerate, but at least I want to say a year and a half, I did not listen to music. I didn't want to hear music. I didn't want to be related to music. When I went to the market, you name it, where I was, when I went in, did my shopping, put my headset, and just like talking to someone and get out of there as fast as possible, because a couple of times I was in the market and then either Pepe Aguilar was Por Mujeres Como Tú, Yo No Fui de Pedro, whoever, but he worked with so many people, you know, he was so successful in what he did that everywhere I would hear music, Amor Eterno, La Guirnalda, Querida, Costumbres, Hasta Que Te Conocí. Like, I was like, no, I don't want to hear his music, no? But I passed that. And obviously the love for the music, it's there. That's what I have done all my life. And I just needed it to have and fulfill the part of being a mother. And I put a pause because, yeah, that's what life was putting in my plate. And like you mentioned, right now I'm so proud of my children and they have their degree and they're going to start or they're starting to work. And there's been many nights that I, you know, pray and think and see the messages in my social media. And people, you know, they remember me. They're asking me, when are you coming? When are you going to sing? When? And I'm like, or I go to a place to see another performer and people approach me and they want pictures and we want to hear you. And so I know that, you know, everything is lining up towards that.
Absolutely. And it's not like you went away. You just had to take that break. And now I feel that with everything that's transpired in your life, you're coming out stronger. And I say better only because your spirituality and everything that you have put together now to step on a stage is, I mean, I see ovation after ovation after ovation. And I'm very excited and I hope that we have the opportunity to work together again, because it's such a privilege to work with.
Well, I wish. I wish we could have the opportunity to have.
What's that song, A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes, When Yes. You're Fast Asleep? I think that was a Disney lyric. I'm getting tugged over here. Anthony wants to take the microphone away.
Well, I just think it's important to
for our listeners to understand, when you speak of Homero, your husband, it was a personal loss for you, but it was a great loss also for all the world of mariachi and us charros, you know, hearing about that. You know, like you said, all the songs you listed, you know, he touched, you know, so his legacy.
He created.
Yeah, so for those who don't know the connection when you speak of him, that's who he was, you know, that's who he still is, you know, in the music. I want to touch on something you said about folklorica, you know, because you were coming up at a time when music was changing, you know, the whole style, the whole, what people wanted to do. They wanted to go to discos, they wanted to do this, but you kept that tradition alive with your voice and the music and what you were singing and how you presented yourself. Was that a difficult thing to decide? Because, you know, the grand damas, you know, the lolas, the luchas, you know, they were already set. You know, they established themselves. You were young and you chose that same path. And I'm just wondering, what was that like for you to say, I want to be like them, but, you know, you don't want to go do disco and wear spandex and stuff, and you rather wear trajes de charla?
Well, I was in that marketing time when they told me, okay, you're going to wear jeans with grecado, charro, con chaquetilla with a bustier, and then chaquetilla. So I went through that. There was one big celebrity that told me, this is like a disgrace. It's like, you are the image of the Mexican music right now for the youth. But she was very traditional. Through the whole world, she was like an ambassador of our music. And my madrina calls me, la señora Beltrán, and we're talking, and I just said, oh. She was like, I saw you. You look beautiful. I love those jeans, Angeles. You can do anything. You can put, you're 16. You can do anything you want. Well, gracias, señora. But you know what? So-and-so just told me, you know, a couple of weeks ago that it's like a disgrace. It's like, it's not something that I should be proud because I am not representing, you know, with a charra, like traditional. Ay, por favor, Angeles. Tú no hagas caso de eso. Tú te ves hermosa y tú continúa because with this, you know, the youth is going to, you know, follow you and it's going to be fine. It's like, no. Esas son ideas arcaicas.
So. That's an incredible encouragement, you know, because we do have to stay connected to the youth and somehow. We need to show them that, you know, it's not old Mexico, and there's ways of
that
progressing.
That is good to progress,
yes.
And to add a little bit of flavor, a different thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
And that's what mariachi music has done, especially showcased in Mariachi USA, you know, our 35th year here. And the performances, you know, it's not always traditional. Traditional is beautiful. Traditional is a necessity. You know, we need to hold on to that foundation of tradition. But we need to grow also, and I know as a member of Campanas, you know, when we started performing and changing the music a little bit and adding drums or, you know, a saxophone or something,
keyboards.
The traditional keyboards and everything, the traditionalists were like, what are you doing? But it's music has to grow. We all have to grow.
Everyone has to do that. And back then in the 80s, when Homero Patron was working with Juan Gabriel and did the album for La Señora Lucha Villa, the album of Costumbres No Discutamos. No, it was No Discutamos was the album. That it was Siete Versos, all those songs. That for me, that was a classic. And now I remember I was 14, and that was the first album that I went and bought. That I was like, I'm going to buy that album. So I went, got it, and I look back because back then, you know, the vinyl, lo volteabas y veías los créditos. And I wanted to know who did the music of this. Who is the arranger? And I saw there Homero Patron. And I was like, wow, I need to work with this person. Fast forward, he, you know, when I met him and we start working together, it was on my third album. And from there on, that was my other half in production. He was my guidance of what to record, did the arrangements, the direction, ejecutar, ¿no? Las grabaciones, without me knowing that years after we were going to get married. So, yeah. But I met him when I was about like 15.
Inevitable.
Yeah, it was meant to be there, you know. So it's so important always to integrate lyrics, different, you know, instruments. And back then with Con La Señora Luchavilla, it was like, oh my gosh, it's so symphonic, you know. But yeah, mariachi for me, it's one of the groups that you can add anything.
Right.
And it's going to sound beautifully.
Well, you know, I always make the argument that, you know, mariachi musicians are complete musicians because they perform standing up without music. You know, they vocalist, they're musicians. They, you know, they tune their instruments. You know, the respect is finally catching up with the love of mariachi. I think, you know, we're getting there. There's still some work to do, but you know. I can say personally, I work with a lot of artists. You know, I admire a lot of artists, but you're probably one of the very few that I'm a fan of because I respect it and it's necessary. If the work that Rodri and I do in Mariachi Jose is supposed to show anything at the end, we have to be like you. We have to stay strong and true and talented. You know, I see a lot of things you talked earlier about. being young and trying to sing the lyrics of someone who's been through a lot. And we see that a lot. We see a lot of young performers who try to interpret something that they really have no emotional insight to. They sing great. They can hit the notes. They can stand and look beautiful, but that experience isn't behind them. And I understand when you were told that, you know, you're great, and you'll get greater.
Vocalist, yeah. But... estar en la parte interpretativa es, pues sí, eso se manejan los sentimientos, es lo que transmites, ¿no? Años atrás me llamó un compañero que deseaba saber si yo podía darle clases de canto a su hija. Yo realmente nunca... había yo contemplado hacerlo, demás. La niña tenía 6 años, iba a cumplir 7 años. Estuvimos en el birthday party y todo. Y me dijo, escúchala. Déjame saber si de verdad, o sea, si sí, le ves callo, ¿no? O sea, ¿tú crees que sí la vaya a hacer como cantante? Y a mí me impactó mucho porque la niña era cante, cante, cante todo el tiempo, ¿no? Entonces empezamos a convivir más, íbamos a fiestas con mis hijos o a días de like pool days, things like that. And I would hear her sing and she would come and say, oh, mi papá me dijo, Ángeles, que me vas a dar clases. Yeah, soon. So when she turned, 7, start giving her lessons, but not singing lessons, like... just hanging out, letting her do her thing. And after, I don't know, maybe 6 years of sessions during summer, constantly about 2-3 months, she became one of the big stars that now these days, you know. So,
do you want to share who it is? Because I can.
Yeah.
Well, the person that called you and asked you is your friend Pepe Aguilar.
That's right.
And the artist is?
Ángela. Yeah.
And we all know that Ángela's career has taken off. I always brag about that. I say, well, yeah, that's because Ángela's was vocalizing with her, taught her how to vocalize. And Ángela's...
No, and set up her songs and all that. And
you did a great job.
The basic thing was, you know, how to execute a song, you know, and everything that we talk... And I'm... obviously, I would say to Annelise, you know the song that we are putting together, right? And I said, I need to find a story, not even PG, like G, okay, for her to get into it. But are you okay with that? And she goes, sí, lo que sea, Ángeles, está en tus manos. And for me, it was so, when Pepe approached me and said, tú no sabes lo que para mí eso significa, o sea, que tú aceptes, dice, que tú aceptes siquiera verla. And she was so young, you know, and
like you,
we had, yeah, exactly, like me. And in many ways, I saw her, and I had a, como se dice, reminiscencias de when I was her age, you know, that I had la señora Beltrán guiding me, telling me tips, comments, and that's something that I feel now that I had the opportunity in life, you know, to pass along.
And it's something as who's on first.
I'm talking from the, but I'm curious because I always catch the little things you say. And what did Lola Beltrán advise you? What do you remember her telling you about what to do or how to do it? When you say she gave you tips, what can you share a little bit of what she said? Angeles, do this. Don't do that.
Play with my hair. Play with your hands. Don't sing always super loud. You know, you have the power in the voice, but matizar. Ser más risueña, because I have always been, like, very serious. So she would say, you know, ¿cómo te mueves? Mueve tus manos, tu pelo. And when you are 14, 13, yeah, I was like, ew. ¿Cómo voy a mover el pelo? But the older I get, and when I develop a true friendship with her, was when I was like 17 until she passed, you know, that we would talk, we would go to her house, or when I used to call her for any matter, just even just to say hi, you know, she will answer like, and I was like, señora, Ángeles, ¿cómo estás? Es que estoy esperando una llamada y no quería contestar. She was very lovely.
Well, from the magical aspect of Angeles is from the second she steps on the stage. And she's here, so she knows I'm not blowing smoke, but Anthony knows this. It's from the second. It's that thing that we call, your name is Angeles, pero el ángel del artista. O lo tienes o no lo tienes. No lo puedes aprender. Naces con él. Es un don. And you have it. So it's how you, that first step on the stage and the persona that rings true to who you are as a woman. And you just take command of that stage. And it's mesmerizing. Mm-hmm. And I am very picky. I'm extremely picky. And I've worked with a lot of artists. And I've trained quite a few young artists coming up, but I have never found anyone that has what you have, which is the full spectrum of what a professional interpreter, you know, they say showmanship, but show woman, you're so everything. And it's exciting. It's beyond exciting. It's a phenomenal feeling to know that here in America, we're going to get to see you on more stages, and hopefully you'll start recording again. And I know Omer will be with you forever, and he's there to guide you and everything you do, and selecting your music and making sure that you have the proper arrangements and the songs. And God, I know that you could probably write a million songs, but we want to, no, it's not wishing luck. It's just applauding you and knowing that we're here. We have your back, and we're going to show up. And each of us, vamos a aportar cada uno un poquito de lo que sea para que tu carrera siga adelante con más fuerza, tu talento a lo máximo, y entretener al mundo y hacerlos feliz, because we're all in the business of making people feel. And people, we have a responsibility. They buy that ticket. But with that ticket for us, I don't just say, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I have to pay my mortgage. No. Oh, my goodness. We have the responsibility to make people feel. They trust us that we're going to make them feel, because they've lost that feeling somewhere along the line in their lives. And that's how they empower us. And so for us to thank them for that, we have to deliver on whatever we put on that stage. And I like to think that through Mariachi USA, we have delivered. And anyone that I put on that stage has got to deliver. And you have any time that we have worked, you have never let me down. You have never let our audiences down. And it always ends in a thunderous ovation. So I hope that we get to share that stage again and to work together. I know Anthony's dying to direct you again. And I know that this is not going to be the last of us chit-chatting here. And no. We're past the Kleenex, somebody, no, please.
No, indeed, it's like coming home. That's how I feel when you know people in the industry, and you know a lot of people in the industry, but when you connect with people through the years, and also the admiration, it's mutual, because the work that you started not 35 years ago, I'm sure it's a little bit more than that.
Pero no que dijimos que no íbamos a contar años. You started when you were nine.
About a year.
Okay, I started when I was five.
Of course, we were together. Don't worry.
We were in our mother's wombs when
exactly.
We started.
Exactly. But your work, Rodri, and obviously God has blessed you with a team of people that has built up.
Indeed.
This magnificent, like Jabby was saying, you know, my dear friend was saying, it's an iconic event. It's something that we don't see ourselves year after year without it, you know, and the legacy that what you have done through the years for so many of us. And I remember when I was in Mexico, living there, just working there and coming to the States and being in these events, I would go back and say, how come we don't have that type of event here, you know? And we're in Mexico. It's like, where is the Auditorio Nacional with a mariachi festival? Where is La Plaza de Toros Mexico with a mariachi festival? It's like, they're doing it in the States. And then I said, you know, I met this magnificent lady directing everything, you know. It's like so powerful. And I'm talking about many, many years ago when we met. So it's an honor for me to share this moment with you. Thank you for allowing me. Thank you. It's my heart is full for the day.
My heart is full for the year. So thank you. Y pues aquí esperamos más grandes cosas de lo que es Ángeles Ochoa.
If you sing El Rey, you have mariachi DNA.
Mariachi USA, the mariachi capital of America.